don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Yeah. Don't panic.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, the incredible invisible gardener. That's me. Michael Whitman will be on in a little bit from Blue Sky Char. Michael's back there listening. He says, hang in there, Michael. We'll be up to you in a second. This is called Emerald Waves. It's from one of my albums called Gem Music. So I take the frequency of the gem, which is, you can hear it in the bows, singing bows, amplify it through the waves of the music, and then do some stuff to it that only computers can do to it. You're supposed to listen to this with your headphones on. Because what I do is I have, it's called Mind Audio. One side of your brain is listening to one part, and another side of your brain is listening to something else. Truly multitasking your brain, that's good for you. Okay, so Mr. Engineer, you can put Michael on if he shows up, because I'll hear him. I guess he's calling. Did you get the phone number to call him, Mr. Engineer? Let's see how to do this over here. Pick on this button over here. He didn't say anything. So I'm going to go keep talking for now. I'm assuming I'm on. The call numbers are 888-627-6008. The direct line is 323-744-4831. That's a tricky one. 323. Oh, what number is your guest? Got it. He got it. Okay, the engineer and I were having fun. Turns out that I might be doing a show extra hour starting today, I guess. Anyways, 323-744-4831. That's a direct line. There are other ways you can communicate with me. Andy Lopez at invisiblegardener.com. Right? You can click. If you're listening to this, you already figured out how to listen to it. You're either getting it through a podcast or listening to the radio show. There are lots of other people who are having the faintest idea how they're getting the show, because I've been doing this a long time and I post it on various different places. If you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, click on radio show, follow a link to my radio show page station here. It tells you all about the, then you'll get to the radio show, which is on bbsradio.com. Then that allows you some different ways to choose. You can, of course, subscribe to the podcast, the Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast. You can do that either by going to bbsradio.com or by on my website, the radio show. I think maybe my engineer may be having a problem getting hold of Michael at 818-627-6008. Or maybe he's trying to call in or something at the same time going out. We'll have to see. I have his number. Trying to bring him on Skype if possible. Oh, I see. He's trying to get him on to communicate through Skype. We do everything on Skype over here, which is pretty cool because it allows me to be in my underwear and in my little rabbit shoes. Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's a podcast I've been doing for over, I don't know, 40 years. So you can get it free there. And while you're at my website, you might as well sign up to receive my free newsletter. That way you can also click on the contest button when you sign up for my newsletter, and it will automatically enter you in the current contest. If you listen to last week's show, I think his name is Pauline from New York. I forgot the place already from New York. But she won the contest, right? And she got the color version of my new book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, and the black and white version, because I decided to give away both, because the color version is so unique. You want to wrap it up and just put it away, right? because it's the one of a kind. It's a limited edition. My daughter-in-law is a fantastic artist, so I got her to do a... I told her I wanted fairies and magical beings on the beginning of each chapter. Hi, Michael, you there?
Andy, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hang on, Michael. I'll be there in a second with you, okay?
Very good.
So I was... So the winner gets the book, the color version of my book, and they get the black and white version, because the black and white version is really like a manual. You can write on and use it. People have my earlier book, which is like really worn down. So I figure, okay, you can use the black and white version to do whatever you want to. And then the color version, you maybe bring it out every once in a while, you know, because it is the color version costs so much just to print. Okay. It's actually being sold in the stores for $75, okay, because it cost me $40 to print it. I have to make $10, so I sell it for $50. But the other stores, you know, they have all kinds of arrangements how they have to make money. So Amazon said, this is the cheapest you can sell it. So it's a limited edition. I'm not going to be doing more. The way it works. Oh, that you okay, Michael?
I'm fine.
Okay, so this is Michael from Blue Sky Biochar. It's bluesskybiochar.com. By the way, Michael, you know when I was working on updating my book and putting biochar in it? I actually did biochard.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I fixed it. But, you know, you'll be surprised how many people said, nah, you created another mistake. We worked so hard to fix it. You don't have any mistakes. And what do? You go back on there and fix. But that's my nature. See, for every one mistake I fix, I always generate two or three more mistakes.
Well, one anyway, day we might have a biochar. We might make a biochar.
Anyway, Michael, how are we going to do this? So basically, I want to introduce people to a biochar because, you know, I've been working with it for a while now. On the south myself, I get it from a couple of different places. The same place where I get my rock dust, they sell the biochar. I don't even know. It may even be from the same place you get it. I don't remember the name of it now, but it is biochar. But you have to pay so much money to ship it and everything. I only use a small amount of it, you know. I do use it for my tree care, and I use it in a lot of different ways. But why don't you tell people what the heck are we talking about here?
Well, before I do that, I want to make a little statement, and that is that some people have dirt. Some people have soil, and some people have living soil, and there's certainly a difference. Biochar is an important component of creating living soil.
Yep.
So biochar is charcoal suitable for soil. It's carbon. Biochar is a modern name that refers to biological charcoal. Nature has been creating this charcoal for 497 million years since the first fires burnt the first trees and plants on Earth.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Pardon?
I mean, it's really interesting that nature burns has fires all the time, and that goes back to how far did you say? Billions of years,
of years, right? 497 million years ago, the Earth had very little fertility, and everything came from the ocean. So, as plants and trees started to propagate on land, and fires came and burnt them, it left the ash and char behind, which very slowly recycled into the root zone. Remember, over that period of time, it's usually decades after a fire where it really starts to, you know, move along. You know, leaves fall on top, you know, more organic falls on top. And nature's basically composting the biochar and the ash together. And what is compost? Well, it's the next generation of soil. So we're constantly adding soil, and eventually it becomes down lower into the root zone.
I like you,
so
Michael.
Biochar, Biochar is simply the management system of soil. Biochar is not a fertilizer. It has no nutritive value in that respect. It's carbon. It's basically a skeleton. And the pore structure of this carbon holds water and really holds it well for a long period of time. Drought tolerates your plants. It also holds your nutrients. So when you properly establish biochar in your soil, you'll reduce down your runoff of nutrients by up to 80%. It means it'll stay in the root zone. The third thing, and probably for me the most important thing about biochar, is what it does to microbiology in soil.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen a photograph of biochar blown up, the microscopic pores, each one of those little pores is a luxury condo for microbiology.
That's great.
They thrive in that atmosphere, and they expand their colonies and build up your biology. Now, obviously, we're always concerned about the balance between bacterial and fungal. Bacterial will last through an ice age. Fungal will die as soon as you pull the soil up out of the ground and expose it to air and light. So we're very cautious about building and maintaining our fungal qualities of our soil to create that living soil. So we have this nature doing this biochar. And by the way, fire, which is a subject that I'm very, very interested in. I've been reading a lot of books on it. It's so
impressive
for the system. Fire cleans up excess plant life. Only so many plants can grow per acre, and nature knows what that balance is, and fire is used to maintain that balance. It also is very important for many plants and trees to propagate their seeds. They do not propagate without fire.
That's right.
So that's an important part. Now, also, we know that the ash and char will lay down and eventually work into the soil and advance that soil. But one of the other things that I want to mention just for a second here is the smoke from the fire is as important as the fire. Now, of course, we don't want our homes and businesses to burn down, but we need to mimic or biomimic what nature does with the ash and the char, and also the next thing I'm going to tell you about, and that's called wood vinegar. So the smoke from the fire is as important, and the smoke covers everything, and as it settles on everything around it, it condenses into wood vinegar. Nature created this at the same time 497 million years ago. And wood vinegar is a very valuable thing and very important thing because the trees and plants that go through fire have much greater advantage than those that don't. So the first thing is that the wood vinegar that condensed from the smoke on the plants protects the plants and the trees from disease and pests. But one nice thing about this wood vinegar, which is different than apple cider vinegar or white vinegar or other vinegars, those are fermented. This is done through pyrolytic process. It has hundreds of organic compounds. It's far more complex than your typical vinegar. And these organic compounds that are in the wood vinegar, there's hundreds of them, plants thrive on them, and it raises photosynthesis. So it's actually a growth stimulator, as well as a way of controlling mites, aphids, whitefly, powdery mildew, fusarium, and a bunch of other things. And depending upon how you dilute the wood vinegar down will depend on what purpose you want to use it for. So wood vinegar, as important as biochar, very unknown in the United States, but very, very big in Asia. It's been around for, you know, centuries. Nothing new. I was talking with somebody not too long ago about wood vinegar, and he said, you know, a friend of mine has a mango farm in the Philippines. And I was visiting him once, and they were doing something called smoking their trees. And I said, wow, what is that? He said they take these long dried reeds, make a torch, light the end of it, fan it, and get under the trees and allow the smoke to cover everything. They were doing what nature does. Now, we can do it a lot easier and a lot simpler and also very cost-effective by just using wood vinegar that is produced from the process of making the biochar. It's the smoke condensed into the liquid. And then, of course, you have to process it, but we're not going to get into that now. So wood vinegar, incredibly important. Now, getting back to biochar, humans discovered biochar, we know of, about 5,000 years ago. Now, the Amazon region of Brazil is where it took off the biggest. All over the world, indigenous peoples discovered the charcoal. They knew about it. They used it for their health. It's great for digestion, for diarrhea, for gas, for a lot of different things. Animals have sought out charcoal after fires since the beginning of time. They know about it. It's like elephants know where salt mounds are, where they can go and lick them. Charcoal is that same thing, and animals eat it. And we have a whole array of ways of feeding biochar to animals for various reasons, especially chickens and cattle. But getting off the subject, I don't want to get too far off. Let's get into this group of indigenous Indians in the Amazon region of Brazil accidentally discovering the charcoal. They had these large communal fire pits, and deep down below, there was no oxygen, but lots of heat. So the wood did not go to ash. Now, if you don't know this, wood burns actually twice. It first burns to a charcoal stage, and if you continue to burn it with the presence of oxygen, it just turns into ash. We don't want the ash. We want the charcoal. So we do this process called pyrolysis, which is indirect heat without oxygen, and that's how biochar is made. So these indigenous people started digging out because the charcoal kept building up in the bottom of their fire pits, and they throw it aside. Now, we all know that indigenous people throughout history were so in touch with nature. Anything changed on in their land, they were so aware of it. And as they drew this charcoal aside, they noticed after a period of time where they threw it, things were happening really incredible there. Now, those of us who don't know this, the rainforest has amongst the poorest soil in the world. There's about 6 inches of fertility on top, and then everything else down below is pretty much dead because of all that rain that leaches everything out. So when the indigenous people started doing this, they had a population of approximately 150,000. And 1,500 years later, in the year 1546, they had 2.5 million people living in this region. They were so successful at agriculture because they were now able to capture their nutrients. They weren't washing away anymore. So the soil built up. And if you dig down 2 meters into the area that they affected, you will see this incredible, rich, humus, black soil. And if you step right outside that region and dig down 2 meters, you'll see just dead soil, ale-looking, infertile soil. So the issues with them was that year in 1546, Arellano, a Spanish explorer, came down the river. He was, of course, looking for gold. He didn't know he found black gold. And he saw 14 miles worth of buildings and just hundreds of thousands, millions of people with a very advanced agricultural society. And Spain thought, of course, they were the agricultural leaders of the world. They were a little egotistical about that. So Arellano was very excited. He wrote down maps, charts, and journals and told his crew that when we go back to Spain, we're going to be heroes. Well, that did not happen. No one believed him. It took 60 years of time to pass before Spain decided to send someone back again with his charts, journals, and maps. They found the place, and nothing was there. In the first 50 years after the first visit, everyone died from smallpox, influenza, and measles.
Yeah.
The jungle grew over the entire culture that they had created, and it disappeared. And it wasn't until 400 years later, the beginning of the 20th century, the invention of the airplane had people starting to fly over the rainforest. And they'd look down and they go, wow, why is that so incredibly lush? And right there, it's not. Because the whole, the rainforest is not lush everywhere. So they brought this information back, and scientists and anthropologists and archaeologists and just biologists and botanists all went down there. When they first got there, they thought humans did not do this. It was done by nature. But of course, as soon as they started digging, they realized humans definitely did this. The natives were not only putting the charcoal in the soil, they were throwing all their food waste, pottery shards, bone fragments, shell fragments, everything. They were composting. And they did it to such a degree for 1,500 years that we know about, and developed what's called Terra Preta de Indio, the dark soil of the indigenous. This is the richest soil to this day still on the planet. And people actually have gone into these areas and dug up the soil and packaged it and sold it or took it to their farms. I'm not sure if they're still doing that, but it was done for a very long time.
I think it
is. This is just one of the cultures that developed it. Now, in Asia, charcoal is huge. It's in every facet of life. Now, it is here too, but over there, they're more conscious of it. Charcoal is used for so many different things. We're not going to get into all of that now because it's quite vast. But charcoal is trending so big in our country There are hundreds of charcoal soaps and tooth powders and tooth soaps and toothpastes and supplements for taking charcoal for indigestion or gas or diarrhea. So it's inundated in us. Wood vinegar is everywhere in Asia. They don't just use it for agricultural uses. They bathe with it. It makes your skin feel fantastic. It's an acidic acid. They use it for odors. Like if you had a pig farm and your flues were really smelly, you can spray it on there and it cuts the smell within a day. So there's a lot of uses for wood vinegar, as there are a lot of uses for biochar.
You there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm having when I'm talking to you, I don't really hear myself. I'm used to hearing my voice. You know, I'm that kind of guy when you speak. I've done radio shows for a long time, and, you know, you can hear your show. You know what your voice sounds like. I don't hear my voice, so I'm going, I'm not talking. But listen, you know, throughout my career, what I've been, and, you know, I talk a lot. You haven't been listening to the shows. I've been doing this for many, many years. So all throughout the years, and I have some of the shows up already, plus it's in the book. I really talk about how the soil, one of the things that the mycelium does is that it takes carbon and makes an acid out of the carbon in order to take all the other minerals. And one of the reasons why, you know, normally it would take it from wherever nature provided it. Okay. So, you know, it's because us humans don't like fires, we kind of stop that cycle. And I'm constantly telling people we need to reestablish the natural way that nature would bring all the bacteria and the microbe and everything back. And, you know, they need the carbon, because if they don't have that carbon to work with, then you have a trace, the plants will have a trace mineral deficiency. With the carbon, abundance of carbon, then the microbes can go to work and make minerals available, because they still have to have minerals that from sources. That's where correct me if I'm wrong, but the wood vinegar has a wide variety of microbes that go after a wide variety of minerals. So you still have to add the minerals to it. That's one reason why I always add rock dust to the mix, you know, and when I make something, I want to have as much alive as possible. And the biochar is something I've been using in my tree vents, because I try to make a little colony where they grow in there, you know, and multiply. And
sure.
That makes sense? That makes sense?
The easiest way to use biochar, or the most effective way, is using it on new plantings. Of course, you can use it on everything, but on new plantings, it's easier because you can just put it in when the plant is planted. And when you do that, the char at the bottom of the hole and in the sides where you mix with the backfill, that biochar will attach to the roots, and the roots will actually pull it out into the root zone further than it is in that hole where you started. So that's interesting. Part of biochar is that it doesn't just stay there, it goes out. Now, one thing that needs to be understood is that biochar has a lifespan of around 2,000 years, so it is a permanent amendment. It only makes the soil better and better over time. It doesn't deplete. Now, when we talk about carbon in our soil, we're actually talking about two different kinds of carbon. One is the inputs like compost, worm castings, effective microbes, and all that. The biochar is a carbon, but it's a fixed carbon. And it stays there long after whatever compost or castings or other organic inputs you put down are used up. The char is still there, and it's holding that microbiology and really thriving in that soil.
I learned about using biochar quite a few years ago when I was with the tree people here in L.A., and when I made raised beds for them, and I've learned when I make my raised beds, you want to have that bottom layer really the most active, the most alive. And that's the ideal place to have a biochar. So I used to do a mixture of biochar and compost and the rock dust, a couple other things together. And that would be the bottom layer, maybe an inch or two, the very bottom of the raised bed.
And that's a very good idea.
It's amazing.
Every time I do a raised bed or I do a potted plant or a hanging plant, I always put a layer of biochar at the bottom. After I put my pebbles in, I like using rocks and pebbles at the bottom for the drainage.
I put
a little layer of biochar on top, and then I put my soil, which also contains biochar and many other things in there, because we mix our own soil here at my home. We have a cement mixer, and we have, you know, a whole array of inputs that we put into our soil. So we're not just buying a bag of soil at the store and using it. We'll start with that, but we're adding a lot more to it, including mycorrhizae.
Here's the thing, too, is that I go over to my favorite place, Green Thumb Nursery is one of the nurseries I deal with. I've been dealing with them for years, and I kind of, they see me come, what?
Green Thumb carries our three of our products.
Oh, cool. Because I go there and I say, well, what, you know, why aren't you selling this? Because I know the owner, and I've been going there for, I don't know, 50 years, 30 years, 40 years, some ridiculous time. And I've been talking them into, you know, more and more organic stuff. Why aren't you selling the rock dogs? Why don't you sell this? Why don't you sell that? You know, so they have more stuff there now. So they do have, I was going to say that they do, they have the ambrosia over there. They have, they're selling your biochar now too. It's in the containers or is it in the bigger bags? I don't think I saw the biochar there. Is that recent?
Oh, it's there. It's a 1 cubic foot bag. It's called Superchar by Organic Solution. They also have our worm castings, our premium worm castings. And I'd like to make a little note on these worm castings. These are very different worm castings than you'll normally find on a store shelf. These worm castings.
Yeah, super worms?
Yep. Huh?
Super worms?
We have millions and millions of worms at the worm farm. It's based in Camarillo. They're very happy employees. They work 24/7 and never complain. We feed them an incredible diet. And what we have in our worm castings is a fungal rating that no one else has. Everyone has bacterial in their worm castings. We have fungal. And the reason is fungal is very hard to maintain. We never dry our worm castings out. They're always moist, which means that the eggs and the babies that are in those worm castings will propagate in your soil. So when you use our worm castings, you're going to end up with a lot of worms in your soil. When you use a typical worm casting, they're dried out. They have some nutritive values, but they don't have nearly what we have in ours. And it's a very unique...
Right. That's always been a problem with me when I was, because I started using worm castings. Oh, I know, I've been doing the business since the early 70s. And in those days, the only way I got earthworm casting was because I started actually doing the worm beds and making the castings myself, because you can't go out and get earthworm castings, let alone, and then they were selling earthworm castings, right, which was sterilized with heat in the Ziploc bags. I'm going, you're kidding me, right? And I found a few places locally that were doing it right, and they were alive with casting. But it's, again, it wasn't high in the fungal counts, you know. So, so for me, I would love to be able, because I can't, when you use this stuff, you have to buy more than 10 pounds or a 5 pound bag. I mean, you have to, any normal property, when I go to a place, you know, I want to be using bags and bags of this stuff. And so I haven't really found, so you're saying I can drive up to your place and buy bags and bags of the nice, really alive worm castings?
Yes, you can come to my place, or you can go to Green Thumb in Ventura, or Island Seed and Feed in Goleta, or any of the Aquaflow stores.
Well, Green Thumb, are they selling it in the Ziploc bags, in plastic bags?
No, it's a sealed bag. It's got holes in it, so it breathes, but it's a sealed bag, and it's a 1 cubic foot bag. And for $29.95, compared to everybody else's, it's not much cheaper.
Don't they have to get sold within a certain length of time, or is it like they won't last that long there, will they?
It'll last as long as you keep it, you know, somewhat moist and don't let it expose to the, you know, the sun and a lot of heat. It'll last for a while. You know,
will I get a better deal if I come to your place?
What's that?
Will I get a better deal if I come to your place?
Sure, you will.
Oh, cool, because always, for me, you know, part of the problem has always been when I go to a nursery, like over here in Malibu, you got to be kidding me. It's like the stuff is like, maybe they have one product that's maybe decent, but certainly not alive. The rest of the products are like really seriously. Green Thumb, well, they have a few products, you know, not as much in the amount that any real normal person would be using. Because I was doing a lot of raised beds, and I just couldn't get enough earthworm castings or enough. Like now, I'm having a problem getting live, healthy compost. Okay, so is this earthworm casting, will that substitute for compost, or is there a separate compost? You also make compost?
In my opinion, I use both, because I make my own compost, which you saw when you were here. My compost. It's got 30 different ingredients in it. It's got rock dust. Yeah. It's got bokashi. It's got eggshells. Yeah. It's got lots of coffee.
Nothing like the old compost that you make. I know.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing compost. Plus, we don't let it dry out, so it maintains all of the the nutrients and bacterial and fungal that were.
You did tell me that I could order some from you directly, not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Yes. Yeah,
a lot of times, sure. A little bit is all you really need to help other things get started. But I still need a good amount. Ideally, it would be great if I can find somebody that delivers the stuff, right? Because I can't lift it anymore. Ideally, what I love to do is say, okay.
Well, we can deliver for you. We can deliver for you. Not a problem.
I love to tell a customer, because that's the biggest thing I do. See, I work with homeowners, right? So I try to get them to understand, hey, you got soil here you got to take care of, right? I mean, as a natural arborist, I tell people, guess what is connected to the soil? Your trees are. And if your soil is not working, because you know trees have evolved with fire. Fire is one of the main things that help them evolve, and how they use their energy and all this stuff. And we don't do that anymore. We hear homeowners don't burn down their backyard as often as they used to, right?
Right. Well, we don't want that to happen, but we can easily mimic nature and do that. Now, I wanted to
Would love it if I could tell a customer, look, give this person a call. Tell them this is what you want, and you guys deliver it to them. And then the biggest trick is we get the gardeners, right? We get the gardeners to actually start using it in their property. Because, for example, roses will go nuts with this stuff. Your fruit trees had in your backyard were the most healthiest I've seen in years.
Roses absolutely love, everything loves biochar. I wanted to share another thought with you. I live in Thousand Oaks, California. And Thousand Oaks is the first city in the nation over 5 years ago to adopt biochar officially. And the reason that they did this was they were first using it as an experiment with all new tree planting. And so over the last 5 years, we've planted somewhere in a range of about 4,000 trees with biochar and other ingredients. Not one of those trees died through the drought. That's how efficient and effective it was. And the city wrote in law in 2016 that any city property or municipal property where landscaping was being changed or altered in any way must contain biochar in that soil. That's how dedicated they are to it. So we've got one of the top 10 sustainable cities in the country using biochar, and the results have been fantastic.
Now they need to follow through, right? They need to follow through and say, okay, we realize that by doing something into the soil, because what really happens, and I've been telling people, if you can look at my column in the back, I tell people how to really take care of your trees. You can't, of course, pull the tree out and put biochar in and put the tree in. So you got to work around the root systems that they have there. You have to bring the living soil bacteria back. That's why it's called living soil. I'm glad you're using the terminology, because I've been using it since the early 80s. Because I said that's a living soil. The soil has to be alive. And what takes care of the trees and what makes it live through the drought, and it's the living organisms.
Yep, that's exactly what biochar does. So South Oaks has had a great success. Other cities are starting to come on. Other organizations are coming on. I've been doing it for over 12 years now, and when I first started, nobody knew what I was talking about. And now the next question is, where do I get it?
Well, now they got to follow through. They have to say, look, what's the point of having this natural? And we're going to dump some fertilizer here, or we're going to spray some pesticide. They need to follow through and do the whole thing totally organically. They need to understand fertilizers will kill the natural bacteria. And they use any chemical fertilizer around this stuff, it eventually will kill it.
That's correct. The way I describe it is that using chemical fertilizers absolutely kills microbiology in soil and does a lot of other harmful things. And so
cocaine for the soil.
That the soil is just a medium to hold the roots, and the chemicals are feeding it. And that's not the way nature goes. You feed the soil, the soil feeds the plant. So what happens is these chemicals are really like a heroin to the plants, a little too much.
Right, they heroin and out, cocaine, too little, right.
A little too little, they freak out. And then you get into a situation where the soil is stressed, like in drought, and the whole thing collapses. And there's you can throw as much water as you want at it, but it's just not going to do much.
Right, and what happens is that the plants do not get the minerals they need anymore. Their brick level starts to drop. It singles the insects. Time to attack. They bring their pests, their diseases with them. Wham, you got it. And no amount of pesticide, herbicide, fungicides will solve the problem.
That's right. That's right. You need to feed that soil. It's all about the soil. You know, when I talk to people, I go to their gardens, I say to them really simply, doesn't matter how pretty your garden is, if you don't have the right soil, a living soil to begin with, then you don't have anything yet.
No,
so you can make it as pretty as you want, but it's not without that soil. So soil is number one for me. And number two for me is seeds, collecting, storing, and preserving seeds. I work with seed libraries. I just talked with the seed library of Los Angeles last Saturday. I had a presentation there for the meeting for the members. It went great. We're using biochar for coating seeds.
Yeah, you're going to have to show me that because I have a seed bank. I have seeds that I've been saving for quite a while. You know, it's a task to really keep them healthy and alive and viable all these years. I mean, I have some stuff from around the world, and I definitely want your help in learning how to better treat my seeds. And then, of course, what's the point of having a seed bank if you don't share it with other people and trade seeds? Because I love to trade seeds and talk. Mm-hmm. So connect me, okay?
Right. Well, I went to the Ojai seed swap about a month ago, and then a month before that, the Barber seed swap, and they're wonderful. Pretty much everything is free. You don't necessarily have to bring in trade. They'll just give you stuff. You know, there's so much to get, and that's where I get a lot of my seeds from there. What I wanted to share with you at this moment, since we're talking about seeds, I've been doing research on biochar powder for seed coating, and it does two things. One, as for storing the seeds, a little teeny weeny bit of powder on those seeds will make those seeds last way longer by keeping the humidity levels proper and not overabundant, keeps pathogens away, and it stabilizes the seed for a long time. Now, when we germinate those seeds, we're following nature and mimicking nature again by adding wood vinegar to the water that we hydrate our seeds with, just like nature does, where the fire smoke covers the seeds that are propagating from the fire. And those seeds that have got that wood vinegar on there have a way better advantage than those that don't. The advantages are twofold. Well, more than two, but two particular things. One is that the wood vinegar will allow many more of the seeds that you germinate to germinate. So the higher percentage of germination. Then of those ones that germinate, they germinate at a much greater level. They're much healthier in the very beginning. They just outperform seeds that don't have wood vinegar by a lot. So
interesting. Speaking of seeds, I have a collection of marijuana seeds that I've collected when I was in 1968 in the Navy in Vietnam. I was in Cambodia. You name the places, and they're still good. And the reason why they're good is because I thought that, you know, I was going to clean them off, and the guy says, "No, we should. This is the way they were." So they were coated. So you think they were coated in some kind of char, right?
Possibly, or a wood vinegar type thing. I'm not really sure, but in Asia, it's pretty common that they will do that. So
yeah, this is Vietnam, so it's probably ancient times, ancient ways of. You had told me something interesting too about how to make wood. You know, because you can build a house with the material, so the fires would not burn it.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's touch base on that in a moment. That's called shokan. The Japanese technique that was developed centuries ago for charring wood. Let me go into it right now. So basically what the Japanese did was they were very concerned about wildfires because they were prevalent, and they discovered that by charring the outside of the wood for the siding of the house or their fencing, that charred layer on the outside, it needs a much higher flash point than the bare wood would. So that means when an ember hits that charcoal, the likelihood of it igniting is extremely low to none. So that's why they did it. But it also, when you char the wood, it preserves that wood from disease and pests. So charred wood, or shosugiban technique done to wood, will make those wood pieces last for a lot longer, decades longer than bare wood. In fact, if you ever put a wooden post in the ground, always, if you don't want to char the whole thing, at least char the part that's going to sit in the ground, because it'll stop rotting for far, far longer than the wood would have normally.
Michael, can you explain briefly how you would char something?
Well, basically, the technique that most people, and by the way, you can go on to YouTube. There's hundreds of videos on charring wood.
I bet.
Now, what you do is basically take the planks of wood, lay them on, either sawhorses or something, or rocks, or bricks or something, or some cinder blocks. And you just take a roofer's torch, which you can buy anywhere, Harbor Freight or wherever, and a propane tank, and you just start charring. And you can char to any degree. You can do it lightly, just for the protection, where you could do it heavily.
You mean take the torch and start until it gets nice and black?
You just torch on top of the wood, thoroughly along all parts of the wood. Okay, once you're done with whatever level you want, I like a very high level of charring because it looks like alligator skin. So not only do you protect better, but it looks so awesome. So
Michael,
what we're doing
what?
Is after we torch, yes.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, why isn't this available in the markets? Because now, if I was going to build a raised bed, I have to go to a place,
you know,
and I have to tell them, I do not want it pressurized, treated with this formaldehyde. I do not want it treated with anything. And then, of course, you have this wood that if you don't treat it, right, if you don't do something to it, because what I do is I use citrus. That tends to petrify it a little bit. But I love the idea of burning it, putting it in there. The raised bed will last forever.
Yeah, so here's what you're doing. So you're charring the wood with the torch. When you get to the point which you're happy, what you're at the right level, or you can just stop at that point and add more charring later, you take a nylon brush and brush off the excess powder that's on the top, wet it down a little bit, and then if you decide you want to go further, you can continue to char, or you can just leave it that way. Now, there is a company up in Oregon that makes charred wood for fencing. They make it in three different char levels, very light, medium and heavy. So it's being done in the United States, but nothing like it's being done in Asia, particularly Japan. Very common there. And it's a wonderful process.
Here in Malibu with the recent fires like over in Montecito and along the coast, you would think that by now we would have picked up on this.
You know what? There's so many wonderful things, and usually it's the old stuff that's coming back. You know, I mean, really, we don't need any new technology in our world to live a sustainable life. We have it all right now. We don't have to reinvent anything. We just have to implement things. And most of these things were done by indigenous peoples of the world who lived off the land. They discovered it. We're moving back that way again.
So Michael, we made an error
on our planet about 75 years ago when we started using chemical fertilizers, particularly after World War II. And we wiped out our soils and really messed up. And now we're moving backwards. Most people are starting to get away from chemical fertilizers and herbicides and pesticides.
That's forward, man. That's forward.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. Very encouraging indeed.
So listen, it would make sense, Michael, for you to offer workshops to these homeowners who are now rebuilding their homes again, doing the very same thing over again. They should know that if they did this to their home, let the fires come and go.
Well, if you can do that without burning your homes down and your businesses down, then that's fine. But if you can't, it's just a very simple method of buying biochar, or if you want to make it yourself, and utilizing it. And then if you can, get wood vinegar, which we have available, and utilize it. And you're mimicking nature without having to have the fire. I mean, it really is that simple.
Michael, seems like California should say it's a law that you have to do this to your homes now, so that they don't get burned down. Why can't that be incorporated into a law? You know, and then when people build it, they do it there because it's done by the professionals. And the whole, you know, what will happen too is that it'll shut down the termite industry, right? Because they won't termites
well,
won't be able to live it.
It'll certainly slow it down to some extent. I don't know if it'll eliminate it because they are part of natural, you know, life on Earth. You know, we have the ability now to make biochar in a very clean way, make the wood vinegar from that same process in a very clean way, and utilize these things that nature is doing. So it's basically biomimicry at its finest.
Michael, are you a speaker or something, or do you normally do like a radio show? You have a great voice.
Well, I have been speaking for over 40 years, doing presentations for various things that I've done. I just did a video. In fact, I have a new video. Matt Powers, who is a permaculture expert, has an online course coming out soon. Now, a lot of people want to do permaculture, but they don't have the time to take 2 or 3 or 4 weeks off to go and do a course, because that's usually what it requires to get certified. Now, for the first time, a really great course on permaculture is available with 50 experts on permaculture and all other parts of what we're doing, all other facets of this. And it'll be available for, I think it's between $300 and $500 for the whole course. And you become certified. This is a really wonderful way And so we're promoting that. And Matt came to my home about a month and a half ago and did a few hours worth of video, and he's edited it down. There is a 7-minute video that he put together, just a little teaser of it.
Where's it available at? How do you see it?
On my website. It's on my Facebook page, Blue Sky Biochar on Facebook. You just scroll down the timeline and you'll see it there. We have a lot of videos. If you go to our website, blueskybiochar.com, we have lots of videos that I've done over the years with the City of Thousand Oaks and with various groups. I have tours coming through my backyard on a regular basis. We filmed a few of them. Kiss the Ground, another wonderful organization, came here 6 months ago and did a film on me, and they just gave it to me recently. So I have a lot of video content available for people to watch on blueskybiochar.com or Blue Sky Biochar on Facebook. We're also on Instagram as well. And we encourage people to sign up for our newsletter on our website. We send out newsletters every month with a new video and other interesting things. We're going to actually do two newsletters this month because we have so much content. We're going to put out another one very shortly. Either Monday, well, probably this Monday, we're going to be putting out another newsletter. So I really encourage people to go to blueskybiochar.com and sign up for the newsletter. We don't give your address out to anybody. It's strictly for the purpose of education. You know, we're not selling this list to anyone. We don't do that. You know, we're very protective of who we work with and who follows us. So that's one way of getting more information is to watch these videos that we've done. John Kohler, who is a YouTube phenomenon, has a program called Growing Your Greens. And he came to the house last year and did a video. It's like 51 minutes long. It's a long one, but boy, is it worth it. It's a great video.
Cool. Nice.
And he did a side-by-side test way before he came to my house with our premium organic solution worm castings next to Worm Gold, which is a typical shelf-bought product. And the results were so amazingly different. I mean, it's just phenomenal what our castings did. He has 1 million followers, and he didn't even do an ad on it. He just mentioned what the name was. And people found us on my website, my eBay page, on Organic Solutions' website, and on one other. There's the only 4 places on the internet to get them. And after that video showed, we sold thousands of bags of the worm castings because his people were very loyal, and they paid $30 plus $16 a bag to ship it. And most of the sales were all over the country. One guy in Florida ordered 10 bags 3 different times. He paid a real premium, but he said, "I could never find a worm casting that was anything worth a dime until I found these ones." And that's why he orders it. And I ship them out 10 boxes at a time, you know, and others. You know, I got a cannabis grower up in Boston area buying lots of biochar and worm castings and ambrosia. And so there, it's out there. The living soil movement is moving. The word living soil is sort of, it's not a new term, but it's kind of been coming out of the cannabis industry, because if you're not aware, the cannabis growers, particularly in California and Southern California, for several years now, have been throwing their soil away after each harvest, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard. The reason they say they do that is they're concerned about the soil depleting. They're concerned about excess amounts of lime, calcium, and such from the water, and other stuff that could occur. But now there is a movement in the cannabis growing industry, which they're calling living soil, and they're using biochar because biochar will control the issues that they were concerned about, and now that soil will only get better and better and better every year rather than depleting. So we have pot farmers that are now finally doing the living soil. And it's
I work with a whole bunch of them in terms of helping them, because they tell me the same thing. How can I stop throwing my soil away? I says, well, first of all, you have to go organic. You can't use the biochar and then use your other chemicals that you want to use. You can't use your compost.
Well,
we have to go. We have a certain time frame we got to work with. I mean, you're welcome to come back again and we can talk some more.
But sure, that would
Michael,
be great.
You got lots of information, which is kind of like me. We're just spewing information out. You're welcome to be a regular. Come on anytime you want to, or we can set it up in advance for you to you know, to talk about events and things like that that are happening. And please feel free to talk to Nate and this other person that came and did the video for you. I love to connect with them and tell them about what I'm, because, you know, it's all part of them knowing who I am and knowing who you are. But listen, I'm coming on Monday. I'm going to be bringing my Super Seaweed for you, and I want to pick up some more, because I already used up everything I got from you, okay? If I want some more of the biochar compost.
Yeah, you can get some compost from me. One thing I'd like to share with you, I was at Tomato Mania this morning. To get some tomatoes, and I met up with the group of the Ventura Organic Garden Club, which I know you spoke there once.
Yeah.
And Diane, who's the president of the club, is a friend of mine, and I love the club. I love all the members. I've spoken to them. They've come did tours of my garden. I mentioned your name that I would be talking to you today, and they said, "Well, wow, why don't you ask Andy if he'd like to come back and speak to our garden club sometime?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sure he would. That would be great." So
I charge $10,000 now for a speaking engagement. So it kind of limits it to a few people, you know. No, I've been going to their place for years, man, for years. They're beautiful people.
They're really good, and the club has got a lot of members now.
And yeah, I know.
They're starting to do this. They're starting to create living soil.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what it's really all about. And I'm glad that you're taking it and running with it. And we need more people doing this, you know, because it's like for the longest time, there's nobody out there but me. And now more and more people throughout the years are coming out. But, you know, the negative forces are really pushing really hard the other way. So, you know, we have to keep working on it.
They're losing they're doing whatever they can, but they're not really winning because many, many more people are going organic than have ever done before. And you remember, 100 years ago, everything was organic. Nobody even knew what the term was. Because everything Andy, I just want to say that I've always been in awe of you. You're doing such incredible work. You've been hanging in there doing this work for so many decades. I'm so proud of the work you've done. Everyone I mention your name, they all go, "Wow, Andy, oh yeah, of course." You know, he's like, you know, one of the veterans doing this. And your message is good and proper and appropriate, especially for now in these times.
Well, we're going to work more together because I like what you're doing and I like what you're offering. People should just give you a call or stop by your website and you know, utilize your products. That's what it's all about. I have to do a little before we hang up or anything. So thank you for calling. That was Michael Whitman from the Charman of the board. Get it, Charman of the board at blueskybiochar.com. Okay. Thank you, Michael. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Take care. Be safe.
Bye now. Okay, everybody, this is... let me lower this again. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. That was Michael Whitman from Blue Sky Biochar. It's blueskybiochar.com. So we have a ongoing contest. Pauline won last week. It's a monthly thing, so she won basically for the month of March. And then we're going to do it again by the middle of April. So if you want to enter the contest and win a free lifetime membership to my club, you also get my color version, which is $50, $71 in the store, is $50. I sell it for $50. Limited edition, you'll get that also. And you get the black and white version so you can use it. You'll get access to all my ebooks. And as a member, you'll be able to get up to the members' website, get to the members' podcast. So all you have to do to enter the contest is go to my website, register to receive my newsletter. There's a box that will say contest, what you're interested in. There's a couple other things, but basically one of them is contest. You click on that one and I will send you, what will happen is you automatically be entered in the contest. You don't have to do anything else for that month. And then I will pick it in a month. I'll pick from the group of people that I have the winner. Every month you do have to enter, but you don't want to do the newsletter every month. So what you're doing, if you're already getting the newsletter tells you all about it. But you, what you do is you go up to the inquiry and you say, enter me in this month's contest if you don't win, if you want to do it. And then I will choose from them also for the, that month's winner. And it's right now, it's currently they get, you get the lifetime membership, you get the book and so forth. But every month I might change it. For now, I'm going to do that. But I still do the bio, the Grower's Kit, which is $100 value. What I might do is just throw in the Grower's Kit and the membership at one time. So I do all kinds of stuff. I'm getting ready to do some T-shirts. Don't panic, it's organic T-shirts. And then, of course, my book is available. You can buy it in any stores. Just go to Barnes & Noble or wherever you go to Amazon. Just search Don't Panic, It's Organic by Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. You'll see it'll pop up. You can get it through there. You can get it through my website, InvisibleGardener.com. Go to the store, you'll see the book. The color version and the black and white version. The black and white version is $20. The color version is $50. Plus the shipping and handling is $10 for shipping and handling. Okay? If you only want to spend $10, you can buy the ebook version. You get it in color, everything's really nice. So let's see, next week we have Garrett White from BeyondPesticides.org. And they're having a forum, Beyond Pesticide Forum, coming up in the 14th of April. And then the week after that, the first week in April, we're going to get Amigo Bob. I'm not sure if it's Amigo Bob or the folks from Amigo Bob. We're going to find out. They've been around the organic business for a long time. And so then the rest of the weeks are open to be announced, okay? So let's see. I think we covered everything. So thank you very much for listening to my show. Now, this is my normal show where I do my gardening thing. And so I have a little bit of time. Sometimes the show after me is nothing happening, so I have some time. So we're going to play some music. By the way, I'm working on with the engineer on a better way to pipe my music to you guys so you don't hear we put it on the speakers and because it goes through the speakers back to the microphone to you guys, it doesn't entirely sound right. Song is called Emerald Waves. Thank you. Okay, so that was called Emerald Waves. Actually, you're the first human beings to actually hear it. I wrote it about just 10 minutes before I did the start of the radio show. I work on several different songs at the same time. They all have different frequencies and different vibrational energies. As you can maybe tell from that last one, I tell people don't listen to it and drive unless you're really good at it. This one here is called Two Earthworms Dancing. Don't ask questions. It's still in the process of being done. Like I said, this one's still in the work, still in the process of being done. It's about to where I'm at right now with it. And this one here is the third one I'm doing. I just started it about, I was actually working on it about a second before I started the radio show. Under a different name. Okay, here we go. Sometimes I change the names. This one's called Captain Space. Space, 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 space. Thank you. Well, it looks like I may have lost my engineer, or maybe went out for a smoke break, or any number of things. So I'm going to put this on until he comes on. He can just... All right, you guys. See y'all later. Bye now. Okay, everybody. Bye now. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.